In the course of the week, all of us spend a lot of time in all kinds of different places, right? School, work, on the sidelines of our kids' or grandkids' activities, on social media. Yes, that too is a place, right, where we spend some time. And some of these places can feel decidedly unchristian, right? And we may feel often or think that we could do more for God if we were freed from the ungodliness of these places, if we didn't have to spend so much time there. But, as we've been talking about, in fact, these places are places where God has put us. They are assignments, and they are what we call our front lines. And God is purposefully, right? And that's the key thing here. All of this is not by accident. It's not something that God just hasn't been able to deal with yet because he's too busy, right? God has purposely scattered his church out into the world through most of the week because it is there on the front line that we, the church, can make all the difference in the world. In the last two Sundays, we've talked about the where's and the what's, right? To be used by God, we don't need to be in any special or holy places. God is eager to show up wherever we are and use us wherever we are to make all the difference in the world. Likewise, to be used by God, we don't need to be engaged in special religious activities, right? God is eager to be involved in whatever we do and use whatever we do, again, to make all the difference in the world. And today we're going to look at the who. And we're going to see that from one point of view, who we are matters tremendously if we want to make all the difference in the world. But from the other point of view, who we are doesn't matter at all. And I would like to start with a very familiar passage from John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean. The word clean there in the metaphor means pruned, right? Because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The word of God for the people of God. Despite everything I said for the last 2 weeks, where we are and what we do not, in fact, make all the difference in the world, right? And actually, they make no difference at all if we are no different from the people around us. If you are just another flawed, broken human being, what difference does it make whether your school or workplace has 200 people or 201. Who we are matters critically. I said in one way it matters, in one way it doesn't. It matters critically since we can only make all the difference in the world, which is God's purpose for your life, wherever we are, whatever we do, when we are connected with Christ, and living our daily lives in dependence and in obedience to him. Because apart from him, no one can make any real difference at all. Unless we go to our front lines with the awareness, right? What we talked about last week, whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless we go to our front lines with the awareness that we go as his people, to bear his fruit by doing things his way, then we go to our front lines and have absolutely nothing to offer the world. We're scattered, but we're not light. We're sown, but we're no salt. We're out there in the world, but there's no witness to God's good work out there in the world. But the good news is that you are someone special. The passage that we just read makes it sound questionable, right? All through that passage, it's all about if, right? Except that right in the middle of it, Jesus said, you are clean, okay? And the reason that all of that is all in the sense of if we remain in him is that simply John's gospel was not written to believers exclusively. John's gospel was written to all people, and John says plainly, it was written so that you may believe in Christ. Okay? All the ifs there are a result of who John is writing to. When we turn to something else written by the same guy, John, right? When he's writing to a Christian church, he speaks much more confidently about who we are. Okay? Another famous passage from 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Dear friends, we are now children of God. Okay? That's how John speaks when he speaks to you. We are, in fact, exactly who we need to be in order to make all the difference in the world, wherever we are and whatever we do. Because Christ does live in us. And he is at work in whatever it is that we do. This is why I said at the outset that on one hand, it matters greatly who we are. We must be in Christ. But if we know that to be the case, then on the other hand, all the rest of the questions about who we are don't matter at all. Since we are in Christ, it doesn't matter what roles and identities we play out there in the world. And in fact, all of us play a lot of different roles in the course of a week. How many people, after kind of the Thursday letter, took a few minutes to think through all the different roles they play? Yeah, a couple of people? I did, because I had to do it in writing that letter, right? So the who we are is actually made up of a lot of little who's. For instance, someone here might be a wife, but she's also a mother to her kids. She's someone's daughter. Many kids in town might know her as their soccer coach, whereas if you go to the next town over, all the kids know her as their teacher. Some people in town know her from the gardening club. Other people know her from the Y. She's also active in her church, teaching Sunday school and serving on a committee. Right? And I could go on and on with all of the who's that make up who she is. And some of those roles you can actually go down and break up even more. Like in my letter, I mentioned that, you know, I'm a dad, a father. And then I kind of, you know, in the parentheses, you know, in at 7:15 in the morning, that role as father has already had me in a bunch of different smaller roles. And some of these things take up a lot of her time. Some of them take up less time. Some of them are very, very important to her. And some of them are less important. But all of them take her places and put her in contact with other people. They're all the roles that she plays in the course of the week. And because Christ lives in her all through the week, not just when she's at a church committee, he is at work and he can use her wherever she is, whatever role it is that she's playing at the time. For instance, it's an unfortunate truth that parents are not always a blessing to their children. And we can sometimes kind of remark at that with some humor, and other times it's entirely not funny. But when she's focused on being a follower of Christ first, and then she plays the role of parent to her children out of her identity in Christ, she's a tremendous blessing. Husbands are not always a blessing to their wives. But when a man yields his will to God's will and then learns at Christ's feet to care for his wife out of who Christ is making him, he's sure to bless. God can do more good in the world with a soccer coach who coaches out of who he is in Christ than he can with a pastor who preaches from his own heart, or a missionary driven by his own ambitions. And even a lady who shows up at the gardening club can be God's blessing to people around her if she shows up with the sweet life of Christ at work in her heart. And so, every who that you are becomes an opportunity to join God in his work when, and only when, that small who becomes part of your discipleship to Christ. Okay, and I actually want to say that again. Every who you are becomes an opportunity to join God in what he's doing in people's lives. And the key moment of when that happens is when that who, that's part of who you are, becomes part of your discipleship to Christ. Said in another way, when our identity in Christ overshadows every other identity we carry, then our identity in Christ redeems and empowers every other identity we carry. And again, I want to say that one again, right? Some of us heard the lady, write this down, right? When our identity in Christ overshadows every other identity, it redeems and empowers every other identity. Meaning that all of those roles you play become holy, they're redeemed, and they become effective, empowered. In some of your roles, it's your job to tell others what to do. And this is often a recipe for a human being to assert themselves in all sorts of ungodly ways. Unfortunately, this is the norm. And unfortunately, not just for people outside the church. It's easy to just get the needed job done for the company, but at the same time to fall far, far short of making any difference for God in the world. But what happens when the identity as boss is transformed by the greater identity of in Christ? What is God able to do with an authority, whether it's a boss, a teacher, a manager, you know, everybody somewhere, a parent, everybody has some authority somewhere. What is God able to do with an authority whose understanding of his or her own authority has been shaped, redeemed, and empowered by Jesus-like humility and an eye for compassionate justice that uses its power to build up? In some of your roles, probably in most of them, it's your job to do what others tell you to do. Now, this is often a recipe for a human being to become resentful, bitter, discouraged, rebellious, and then even start to act out in all sorts of little passive-aggressive ways, slacking off, doing the minimum, undermining others, or even just kind of compartmentalizing, right? Here, I just do my job. I don't care about it. My life and what I care about is all out there. I just show up and do it and get out. right? But if we spend 40 hours a week, plus or minus, playing a role that we are intentionally not invested in, or frustrated and bitter and consumed with some sort of about, how on earth did God use that? But again, what happens when that role, where you have to do what others tell you, is transformed by the greater role of Christ follower? What again is God able to do with someone who has learned to see all of life as a God-given opportunity to serve the world that God loves, most often in the person of this person right in front of you that God loves? What can God do with someone who's learned to do things that don't matter for the kingdom at all in a way that does matter for the kingdom? And that kind of difference comes out of learning to be whoever you are by being in Christ first. Knowing and prioritizing your identity in Christ, and then again allowing that to shape every other identity, is the key to making all the difference in the world. Whoever you are, whatever you do, wherever you are. And with just a little bit of time, I would like to do another round of Talk in Church. We're almost done with this series, and then we'll drop this thing for a little while. And everybody can come to church without thinking, am I going to get called on? And this time, instead of looking at kind of where we are or what we do, we're going to think about one or two of those roles. And so, can I have a volunteer? Maybe somebody who hasn't been up yet? I see people pointing at someone, but I won't say their name. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? Okay, Brian. Yeah, if you would. Just to make it totally galling.
Yeah.
Does everyone know Brian? Yeah. Does everybody like Brian? Yeah. Brian, these are your people. They're for you. Yeah. Okay, so this time, roughly speaking, tomorrow, where will you be?
At my home office in our basement.
Okay. Yeah. And have you made some kind of like backdrop for your Zoom meeting so they don't see like the electrical box and stuff?
Yeah. My laptop is like, tilted so you only see a corner.
Right. And what will you be doing there?
I will actually be doing an open enrollment meeting, so helping one of our clients, their employees, pick their medical plan and stuff.
Okay, sounds like a lot of people.
Yeah, there should be about 40 on the Zoom.
Now, how would you describe your, we can all kind of imagine it, but let's try and put some labels on it, your role there.
Yeah, my role is as an advisor, so trying to help people make the best decisions for them and for their family.
Mm-hmm. And this one might be a little bit hard because, you say you consciously go in thinking this is how you're going to help people make good decisions for their families. But in what ways can this role or does this role tempt you to live in unchrist-like ways?
There would be certain plans, decisions that would be more beneficial for me and for our company than for the individuals and their family.
Is anyone surprised?
Right? Insurance, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we get it. Yep. Anything else?
No, I think if I don't operate in 100% honesty and in their best interest, then, I'm just like everybody else in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it would hurt more people than it would help.
Yeah. And how does putting your identity in Christ first kind of change how you play the role?
Well, I think, I at least, because I think about this a lot, and since you've mentioned it, not just this past week, but previously, you have to think about other people and helping other people first and putting yourself last, which is Christ in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's kind of, so far we've been following the chain of what's happening explicitly in the meeting. But also at the same time, there's also a lot of other stuff going on, right? I mean, there's just the simple interaction, right? There's the way the conversation is going. There's I don't quite want to say body language, but how much of yourself you're actually being present for. And I'm not digging for anything here. I'm just curious. Is that ever a struggle?
Yeah, I mean, I think people look at me and they think, what does he know? That's an age thing, right? So to represent myself as someone who's knowledgeable and on their side is hard, and I have always found that hard. I can't grow a beard, if anyone was wondering. So I did try that. That didn't work. I think...
That problem, by the way, fixes itself. not the beard, the being too young problem.
I think that people find just candor to almost to a fault, honesty to a fault, to be a trait that they appreciate. Mm-hmm. Because I will say things in meetings before their customers, as their clients, talking to their employees that probably don't fit me and our company in the best light in comparison to some of the other options. But it's that kind of honesty, transparency, the way I hope to operate, that I think goes a long way with just building relationships with people. And a lot of people I've noticed this, they don't have to ask if I am a man of faith. They just assume it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I kind of expect this is not the most on-target question for you, just because I know you work for your dad, and I'm sure he's kind of has very similar views to what you're talking about. But... This shift of kind of putting the identity in Christ first and then letting everything come out of that, does that shift bring any risks or challenges?
It does. So, as everybody can imagine, the insurance companies are not my friend, but we have to work with them very, very closely. And there are some of our competitors who are more of, they treat the insurance carriers as more of their clients than mm-hmm. their actual clients. Because that's who's going to get the job done for you and as a person. And I don't take that approach. I try to serve the people that trust in us and working that way. So I think it hurts us on the working with the insurance carrier side a little bit, because I'm looking more for, you know, the people that, this is going to be a terrible, and nobody's going to like what I have to say. But if you think of like the shepherd of your flock, right? Mm-hmm. Your flock is not the insurance carriers; it's the people you work with. And I think that's it's not what is typical in our industry.
Now, this was not intended to be like an advertisement for.
No.
But if anybody's looking to switch carriers,
other people do much better. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, to be honest with you, I think about it all the time. And I was raised Catholic, for people who don't know, so there's a lot of guilt. But I think about it all the time, and trying to, especially in this world, where, you know, Maine is one place, but I have clients down in Connecticut and Massachusetts as well, where faith is not talked about, cancel culture, being woke, all those kind of things. You don't want to offend anybody, so it's very hard to bring up those conversations with people who you don't know their. Mm-hmm. If they're a person of faith, regardless of what that faith is, but you try to carry yourself in that way. So it's almost, I struggle with, I'm not trying to hide the fact that I'm Christian, but I'm trying to have the Christian attributes of my life and Christ's, try to live in his, you know, as him as my role model, without forcing people to say, oh, he's just a, you know, just because he's Christian. I want them to get there on their own. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. I find that tough.
Yeah. So, again, not just in the particular kind of chain that we've been following here, but just thinking about your larger front line, all the places you are, all the things you do, all the roles you play, how can we, as the church, support you, encourage you, train you, hold you accountable?
Yeah, I think prayers is always helpful for everybody, and the reason I don't speak up in prayer, because I think... and this is probably wrong, but I think that there are so many other issues that are so much more important than what I'm doing.
We all have that feeling.
You know, yeah. to feel like I take prayers away. I know that's not the right feeling, but it's just how it reflects on me. But I think having honest conversations and, hearing about how other people live with God and Christ in their life really helps me. And you know, coming to church every Sunday helps focus me on, okay, I can make these decisions one at a time as I go throughout the week. And that's all you can do, at least in my opinion. That's all I can do is every interaction I have, every decision point I make, you know, how do I live as close to Christ's word as I can? I'm a sinner. I miss some of those. I don't act in the way that I should every time, and I know that. But just trying to make that decision, and then when you move on to the next kind of decision point, have that as a thought process go through your mind.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. Well, we will, as we later in the service go to prayer, we will be praying for you. And thank you for being willing. Yes, Brian is the one that people were all pointing fingers at. Yeah. I hope you guys have all been enjoying just having people up front and hearing a little bit more about what their week looks like, where they go, what they do. I think it's really, really good for just being aware of what else other people are dealing with. And, of course, everybody else's experience always helps us to interpret and understand our own experience as well.